Hare Krishna Antaranga Mataji. Welcome to the call. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time and association. Well, very, very eager to hear from you, Mataji. A second, shall I read Srila Prabhupada's quote for today before we hand over the call to you? So today's quote by His Divine Grace is, you have to make it public that I am going to have Garbhadhana Samskara. It is not a secret thing. It is a ceremony. And then when she is pregnant, no more sex. No more sex means so long the child is there, 10 months. And unless the child is grown up at least six months, no sex. That means once you have sex and then abstain for 16 months. This was said by His Divine Grace to Hrishikesha on May 8, 1977. So, Hare Krishna, dear devotees, we are all very fortunate today to have Her Grace Antaranga Tulasi Mataji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, first chapter, texts 150 to 152. So, please take over, Mataji, eagerly waiting to hear from you all your realizations. Please go ahead, Mataji. Thank you.
Mataji, you have to unmute.
Mataji, can you unmute yourself?
Hare Krishna. Mataji, is my voice clear?
There is a lot of lag in the and the internet is very weak.
Sorry, Mataji, I'm unable to hear you.
Mataji, there is a lot of lag in your voice as well as the video is also very blurred.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Now is my voice audible and clear?
Much better, Mataji.
Okay.
You have to unmute Mataji. Antaranga Tulsi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Is my voice clear now?
Yes.
So, thank you, Mataji, for inviting me here today. And I feel very fortunate to be in association of such wonderful devotees who are regularly meeting and discussing and churning the nectar of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, pastimes of the Lord. The whole Bhakti Sangha group is so enlivening that whenever I see, whenever I go through the channel, there is so much to hear, so much to know. And it is so inspiring to see so many devotees coming together and regularly hearing Krishna Katha from so many different speakers all over the globe. And I feel very fortunate to be privileged to enter this Vaishnava Mandali today. So I would like to start the class by offering obeisances to all of you and begging for all of your mercy, as well as the mercy of all our previous acharyas by reciting the Mangalacharan prayers. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanatimiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadanti Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swame Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashchati Deshadharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapatate Swami Nityananda. Nama Acharya Padaya Nitaya Krupa Prabhayine Gaura Katta Gamudaya Nagara Grama Tarine. Hare Krishna. So I have been given the text from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 1, Text 150 to 152. So before beginning reading today's section that has been allocated, I wanted to do a small short recap of Chaitanya Bhagavat. We are all now in Madhya Kanda, Chapter 1. So I want to recap Adi Kanda and Madhya Kanda, Chapter 1. Before we begin today's section. Before that, I would like to offer my humble obeisances to Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, who has written such a wonderful book, which is relishable by all the Vaishnavas, that glorify the transcendental activities of Sri Gaur Sundar, especially his wonderful activities in his abode of Navadvipa. Krishna Lila Bhagavate Kahe Veda Vyas Chaitanya Lilara Vyas Vrindavana Das Vrindavana Das Koilo Chaitanya Mangal Jahara Shravana Nashe Sarva Amangal Chaitanya Nitaire Jani Mahima Jate Jani Krishna Bhakti Siddhante Rasima Ajana Lambita Pucho Kanaka Vadhato Sankirtane Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksho Vishwambharav Vijavarav Yugadharma Palav Vande Jagat Priyakarav Karunavatarav. So this beautiful verse, which describes Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, is composed by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur during his Mangalacharan of his own book Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat in Adi Leela, in Adi Khanda. It's such a very beautiful verse that describes Gauranga and Nityananda together as Yugala Murti, just as Sri Radha Krishna together, no? Like that, he is putting Gaur Nitya together and he is glorifying in the whole verse in the dual set. He is glorifying every adjective that he offers is offered to both of them together. Like Ajana Lambita Pujau, both of them have their hands elongated up to their knees. Kanaka Vadhata, both of them have golden complexion. And both of them, Sankirtanika Pitarav, they are the parents of the Sankirtan movement. So like that, he is glorifying both of them. So this beautiful verse, we offer Mangalacharan to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Adi Khanda. Yeah, Chaitanya Bhagavat is divided in khandas. We have Adi Khanda, Madhya Khanda and Antya Khanda. In Adi Khanda, it begins with the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first three chapters of Adi Khanda describe the appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in very detailed way. And then chapter 4 to 6, it describes the Balya Leela, the childhood pastimes of Sri Gaur Hari in his house in Antardweep in Sri Mayapur Dham. It describes beautiful pastimes like the thieves kidnapping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and carrying him in his shoulders. And then they are thinking they are going away from Antardweep, from Mahaprabhu's house, from Sachidevi's house. But rather they end up coming back to the courtyard of Sachidevi. So those kind of wonderful pastimes are described in the chapter 4 to chapter 6 of Chaitanya Bhagavat Adilila. And chapter 7 describes Sri Vishwarup taking sannyas. And because Vishwarup has taken sannyas, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, they are very worried that our Nima, if he goes to school and he also learns about spiritual, about the Vedas and everything, then he will also decide to take sannyas, just like Vishwarupa did, because he's very educated. So therefore, we will not send Nimai to school. So when they decided like this, Nimai is so upset and he begins to perform various activities to show his restlessness and to show his desire to go to school. So all those beautiful pastimes are described. And then in chapter 8 of Adikanda, so finally Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata are convinced to send Nimai to school. And after they send, they decide to do the Upanayana ceremony, the sacred thread giving ceremony for Nimai. Followed by that, chapter 8 describes the death of Jagannath Mishra, the disappearance of Jagannath Mishra and the piteous condition of Sachi Devi. And then in chapter 9, a little bit more about Nitai's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Balya Leela and how he is pacifying his mother and how he is behaving with his mother, who is so sad at this moment, who is alone without Vishwarup, her elder son, without her husband Jagannath Mishra. Now her only solace is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So that is described. And then in chapter 10 of Adikanda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he attains his Yauvana, he attains his Kaishora age, and he performs his Vidya Leela, his scholastic pastimes as a scholar, as Nimai Pandit. He's wandering in the streets of Navadvip, beautifully defeating all the learned Brahmanas. And he's the peak of his youth. And at that time, his wedding with Srimati Lakshmi Priya Devi is described, how beautifully the wedding had taken place. And from chapter 11 to chapter 12 of Adikanda, it describes the entry of Ishwarapuri into Navadvip. The first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meeting his spiritual master Ishwarapuri, and how the Lord, having married Lakshmi Priya Devi, how wonderfully he is exemplarily showing how grihasthas should lead their life. And in chapter 13 of Adikanda, it is one of the most beautiful pastimes of the entire Adikanda, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeating the Digvijay Kesho Kashmiri. It is the peak of his Vidya Leela, his scholastic pastimes, when he defeats the great Digvijay Pandit, Sri Kesho Kashmiri. And how beautifully, how humbly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that, without offending him, without offending the scholar, without offending Saraswati Devi. Very nicely and softly he defeats Kesho Kashmiri, thereby increasing the opulence of Navadvip. Then in chapter 14 and chapter 15 of Adikanda, Sri Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Priya Devi, she disappears due to separation from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then followed by it is Sachi Mata decides to get Gaur Hari married again. And he is getting married to Sri Vishnu Priya Devi. So that event is described. Then in chapter 16, enters a beautiful character, one of the main characters of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Kirtan pastimes. Can anyone tell me who is that?
Nityananda Prabhu's pastime?
In Adikanda chapter 16, a very important personality who is very important in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan pastimes, he enters Navadvip. And that whole chapter dedicated to glorifying that one person.
Sri Ishwarapuri.
Anyone recollects from Adikanda?
Haridas Thakur Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Haridas Thakur enters Navadvip. So one whole chapter Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur dedicates to glorifying Haridas Thakur. How he traveled from Bangladesh to Navadvip, what all events happen in between, and the glories of the holy name is expounded. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan pastimes are about to begin, and therefore each of these wonderful characters are entering into Navadvip. So then in chapter 17 of Adikanda, which is the last chapter of Adikanda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Gaya in the pretext of offering Shraddha Pinda to his departed father Jagannath Mishra. So when he goes to Gaya, he meets Ishwara Puri over there, and he accepts initiation from Ishwara Puri. He receives the mantra. And that is so beautiful to describe Vrindavan Das Thakur. How Ishwara Puri, who is a great devotee, knows that Gaurahari is the Supreme Lord. And when Gaurahari is telling him that you have to give me the mantra and initiate me, he says that I can give my entire life for you, Gaurasundara. What about the mantra? And saying this as instruction of the Lord, taking the order of the Lord on his head, he initiates Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu receives initiation and he begins to reveal himself, the purpose of the Lord's incarnation, the reason why he incarnated from Golok Vrindavan, taking the complexion and the mood of Srimati Radharani. The reason why he came was to teach how devotees should behave, how one should perform devotional service. That same devotional service that was rendered by the gopis of Braja. So that the Lord begins to reveal after taking initiation. All these years, since his birth in Navadvip, he revealed so many beautiful pastimes of childhood as a child, as a young boy, as a great teacher, as a scholarly person. But his main purpose was to reveal himself as a devotee of Krishna. And that he began after reaching Gaya and receiving initiation. So from there, he decides to go to Mathura directly in search of Supreme Lord. He says that once when he began to chant the mantra given by Ishwara Puri, immediately he begins to experience deep separation from Krishna. He begins to get into bhava and he starts calling out, where is Krishna? When will I get to see Krishna? And all the Ashtasattvic vikaras, they begin to exhibit in his body. And he decides that I'll go to Mathura. I want to see Krishna now. And he begins to go to the holy abode. At that time, a divine voice comes from the sky, telling the Lord that still not time for him to go. He has to go back to Navadvip and he has to start the Sankirtan movement. He has to start preaching the holy name from the house of Srivas Thakur. So then Sri Gaurahari, he returns back to Navadvip. So with this, the Adikanda ends. And Madhyakanda begins with Gaurahari entering Navadvip, returning from Gaya. And he's no more the same Gaurahari that everyone had seen. The scholarly Gaurahari who would wander in the streets of Navadvip, pulling every great scholar for an argument, debating with everyone, and very wonderfully, logically refuting all their arguments. And he was so scholarly that he would defeat an argument. He would defeat, and then he would re-establish the statement that he had defeated. And the opposite person would be just astonished looking at how Gauranga Mahaprabhu is so beautifully using the rules of grammar and logic to explain his proposition. So like this, and the devotees, they would be so scared to face Gaurasundar, because if they caught him, if he caught them, then he would discuss so many things. And they were already so preoccupied with discussing the glories of the Lord. But of course, the Vaishnavas, they always prayed for one thing. They would think when they saw Gauranga Mahaprabhu behaving like this, they would think that this person is so beautiful. He is so well-versed in the scriptures. He is so intelligent. If only he was a devotee, how wonderful it would be. So that desire of the devotees had come true. And when Gaurasundar returned back to Navadvip, he was completely changed. He began to reveal himself as a pure devotee of the Lord, always incessantly chanting the names of Krishna. And with great humbleness and with such a wonderful behavior, he was approaching every Vaishnava. And his students were there and they were all astonished to see the different people of Navadvip. Vrindavan Das Thakur is so descriptive in his explanations. He describes so nicely how each and every person is seeing Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The devotees are so happy. Sachi Mata is completely bewildered. And the students are thinking, what happened to our teacher? Why is he like that? They're trying to understand what he's speaking. So like that, everyone in Navadvip is overwhelmed by this change in Gaurasundara. So then he comes back and Madhilila begins with that section. So the chapter 1 of Madhilila describes Gauranga Mahaprabhu's change, how he entered Navadvip and how the devotees and the Navadvip Vasis are looking at this change in Gauranga Mahaprabhu and how every activity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is in a different way after he came back from Gaya. So when Madhilila began in the beginning of the chapter 1, now we are in text 150 of chapter 1. So in the beginning, it describes about how Sachimata is first overjoyed when she looks at her son. But when he comes close and he's crying and he's constantly chanting, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" She is very bewildered. And all the neighbors and everyone has got the news that Gaurasundara has come back to Navadvip. So they all come to meet him. And in that group who came to meet Sri Gaur Hari came Sri Ramai Pandit. So Sri Ram Pandit, sorry. Sri Ram Pandit comes and he sees this change in Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and he being a great devotee of Krishna, he understands that the Lord is experiencing love of God. So he immediately goes to the house of Srivas Thakur. And in that section, the life of the devotees in Navadvip is so beautifully explained. So when Sri Ram Pandit goes to the house of Srivas Thakur, it's early in the morning. The previous day evening, Sri Ram Pandit has met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next day morning, he is going to the house of Srivas to tell this good news that Gaura Hari has become a devotee. He is completely transformed now. So his good news is going to tell. And early morning when he's going to Srivas Thakur's house, it is described that in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur's house, there was a beautiful Kunda tree. Kunda is a white flower that has a very nice fragrance and very dear to the Supreme Lord. So that tree was there, and that tree was a Kalpa Vriksha. No matter how much flower you pluck, it would keep on giving flower. So that tree was there in the Angan, in the courtyard of Srivas, Srivas's house. And in the early morning, all the devotees would come there to pluck flower, to pluck this Kunda flower for worshipping the Lord in their respective homes. And when they would all come in the morning time, they would all meet and they would all keep plucking flowers and discussing Krishna Katha. Various pastimes of the Lord from Bhagavatam they would discuss. So when Sri Ram Pandit goes, he sees that all of them are there. There is Gadadhar Pandit, Murari Gupta, Shuklambar Brahmachari, Srivas Thakur, Sadashiva, so many of the devotees are there and they're all assembled and they're plucking flowers. And at that time, Sri Ram Pandit goes and gives this wonderful news. And all the devotees are so happy. They all chant Hari, 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 Bol. And they all are very eager to meet the Lord. Then Sri Ram Pandit says that I told the Lord that you would all like to meet him. So he has told all of us to come to Shuklambar Brahmachari's house tonight. And we shall, today evening. And there he will speak to us. So then that day evening, everyone goes to Shuklambar Brahmachari's house. So all these pastimes are happening in Sri Navadvip Dham in the middle in Antardvip, where the house of Sachimata is there, where Srivas Angan is there. They're all in one road. Now we call that road the most important road in the whole universe. The straight road that comes from our main gate, ISKCON main gate. If you have come to Navadvip, if you have come to Mayapur, you would have seen. From ISKCON's main gate, there's a straight road that stretches up to Rajapur, Simantadvip. So in that road, one by one, first comes Sachimata's house, Yoga Peach. Next comes Srivas Angan. Then comes Advaita Angan. Then comes Chaitanya Mat, which is the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. So all these are very important pastime places of Gauranga Mahaprabhu during his pastime in Navadvip. Very important, in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, the most important pastimes happened in these places. In Yogapit, the Lord was born. He appeared. He touched this material world in that place. He performed all his childhood pastimes there. As a child, he would make everyone chant the holy names of the Lord over there. If you walk slightly ahead, Srivas Angan is there, where the Lord inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, where he began his Sankirtan, where he began chanting the holy name, chanting and dancing with his associates. And so many pastimes, Mahaprakash Leela and whatnot. Slightly, if you go ahead, Advaita Angan is there, the place where Aditya Acharya sat and he called out the Lord to appear. So that road is very beautiful, that one stretch of road. It is called the Bhakti Siddhanta Marga. So in that road, so there in this Antardweep only, Sri Shuklambar Brahmachari's house was there. He was a simple Brahmana, Brahmachari, who was very simple. He had a small house, and Mahaprabhu chose to go to his house and reveal the change that happened in Gaya to his most confidential associates, with whom he was going to start the Sankirtan movement now on. So there in the evening at Shuklambar Brahmachari's house, all the devotees assemble and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes there. He is the Gaur Siddhar, he is the crest jewel of Navadvip, he is the moon of Mayapur. He has come there and he is speaking about how when he went to Gaya, he met Ishwarapuri, he got initiated, and then he begins to reveal his separation from Krishna. He says, I saw Krishna, but now he's gone. Where is he? I want to see him. And as Mahaprabhu is speaking and revealing what happened, his ecstasy is increasing and increasing, and he becomes uncontrollable. And he starts falling on the ground and crying out of separation from Krishna. He starts breaking the things around. And then suddenly he hears someone crying. And when he asks who is crying, he says, the devotees assembled there. They say, Gadadhar Pandit, your own Gadadhar, who is your childhood friend. He is there inside and he is hearing all this and he is crying. Then immediately Gaurahari goes and embraces Gadadhar. And then he glorifies Gadadhar Pandit. That, oh Gadadhar, since childhood you were so attached to Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit, since his childhood, he was equal age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So since his childhood, he would not play much, very studious. He would always be in the association of devotees of like Srivas Pandit and hear Bhagavatam from them, and he would worship Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, as Nimai Pandit, he would be a scholarly boy roaming around, arguing with his fellow classmates, playing with his fellow classmates in the Ganges and doing all sort of mischief. So he would say, so when Gaurahari, he went to Gadadhar and said, I was like that, but since childhood you were attached to Krishna. How fortunate you are and how much time I have wasted. Saying this, he glorifies Gadadhar and he embraces Gadadhar. And then all the devotees are so happy, they all do kirtan and they all experience ecstasy. So then, as this has happened, now Vishwambhar, he is again doing his daily duties. Like how he would in the morning worship the Lord, he would go and teach his students. So now when he's teaching, every activity of the Lord has changed and it has become closely in relation to Krishna. So for the past few verses from text 130, it is being described of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting in the bank of Ganges and teaching his students. Because Gaurahari was a great Sanskrit teacher, and it is said there are so many lakhs and lakhs of students from all over India would come to Navadvip to study Sanskrit from the scholars of Navadvip. It is said that Navadvipe ashe pade vidya rasa pai. One who comes and studies in Navadvip, he gets to experience the rasa of vidya, the mellow of the vidya ras is available in Navadvip. So they would come. And of all the teachers in Navadvip, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was their crest jewel. And students would come and study under him. So at a very young age, Mahaprabhu had many students. And he was teaching them all this while very nicely. He was teaching them the sutras, the Sanskrit grammatical rules, rules of Nyaya, everything. But after coming from Gaya, the Lord is explaining all these things. But out of his mouth, only the glorification of Krishna, the names of Krishna are coming. And some students are very astonished. And some students are thinking, what is this? You're hearing only Krishna, Krishna. We can't understand anything. We are not learning anything. What is this? So then when the students, they submissively ask the Lord to please explain and make them understand what he's explaining. Then the Lord is very pleased. Gaurahari is very pleased. And he's explaining to them about how all the rules of Sanskrit grammar, all the Vedas and all what they have to learn, they are simply in relation to Krishna. If in relation to Krishna, they're useful. Otherwise, they're simply waste. So he's explaining these things. And I'm sure you've heard in the past lectures from all the devotees, this section. And so today, we are going to continue from text 150. Mataji, you'll be sharing the screen, the verses.
Yes, Mataji, if you want, or if it is there, you can also share, Mataji, of course.
I can't share, Mataji, since I'm using it from my phone.
Okay, Mataji. Yeah, I will try to open.
So I can read, but for others to see, it would be nice if you can share.
Okay, Mataji.
Okay. I have it open.
Preeti Mataji said she will share.
Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji. You said that you will share, right?
Yes, Mataji, I said. I'm just opening. I thought it was open, but unfortunately it was not. Okay, one second.
Okay.
I'm going back to the website to share. This is 150 and 150 to 150. Would you like me to share, right, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Starting to share.
Krishna charana chhadi je arava khane vritta vratha janma jay tar asatya vachane. The life of anyone who gives up the lotus feet of Krishna and explains things as separate from him is useless as a result of his false statements. Krishna alone purport Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur ki jay. Krishna alone is the cause of all causes and the original source of everything. Proud, ass-like, ignorant people who give up the service of his lotus feet and take shelter of the unenlightened point of view distort the meaning of the scriptures with superficial explanations. Thus, they waste their rarely attained meaningful human form of life. In other words, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are actually Jivan Mrita, living dead, Jivan Chava, dead bodies, or Shwasan Shava, dead although breathing. So Gaurahari is explaining that how there is nothing real in this world except the lotus feet of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if one tries to see anything in this world without the lotus feet of the Lord or in separation from the Lord, then that is false. So this, when I was reading this, it immediately struck to me as to the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Supreme Lord is instructing Brahma and he's explaining a very similar thing, explaining the same thing. First, he's explaining that how he is everything. He says, Aham eva same pratri, nanyat yat satasat param, paschadaham yat etaccha yova sushyeta sosmiham. So Krishna is telling the Brahma that he is the one who existed before creation. He is the one existing during the creation. And after the creation is wound up, it is the Lord who alone exists. So basically the entire creation is him alone. But today when we are as a part of this creation, we are in this material world, we tend to see so many things around us and we don't see Krishna in them. I mean, where is Krishna? I am now in front of a laptop. And I have a window, I have curtains, I have this house, cement. I don't see Krishna in this. So what does it mean? So then Krishna immediately says in the next verse, Prate artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tat vidyad atmano mayam yatha bhasho yatatma. So if you see something in aloof from me, if you see something meaningful, if you're seeing something and that is meaningful to you, but it is not in relation to me, then please know that to be my illusory energy, maya. Prate artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyat atmano maya. That is my own maya that you're seeing here under my illusory energy at that time. So this is the truth that when, like what as Gaurahari is telling, explaining to his students here, that when we see one who has realized what Krishna is teaching us, that he is the one who exists everywhere at all times. He is the absolute truth. When one realizes this, then one will see Krishna everywhere. That is what happens when the self-realized personalities, when they look at this world, they see everything as nothing but Krishna's expansion. When a pure devotee sees, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. he sees the Lord's hand in everything. For example, when he sees water, he'll see the Lord in it. When he sees a flower, he'll think of how beautiful will this be adorning the Lord. When he sees the birds, he'll see that this bird is the artistic touch of the Lord. The colors in the birds, the creation, everything appears to him to be as the mercy of the Lord. But whereas to a person who has not realized that the Supreme Lord is the only absolute truth, and when he tries to see truth in things which are false, then he is under the shelter of the illusory energy. He is being covered by the illusory energy. And this is what Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is demonstrating, that how everything can be seen in relation to the Supreme Lord. Here he is explaining all the Veda, all the sutras of Sanskrit grammar in relation to the Supreme Lord. And that was fulfilled by Jiva Goswami by writing the beautiful Harinamamrita Vyakarana. He wrote a book of grammar on Sanskrit grammar. And he explained all the rules of the grammar using the holy names of the Lord. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, that was re-established by Jiva Goswami. So like that, it is possible to see the Lord in everything. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, our Sutta Goswami says, he says what Siddhanta Thakur is quoting here, that is Jivan Mrita, Jivan Shava, Svashat Shava. This comes from this verse in Bhagavatam. Jivan Shava Bhagavatam Khirenum Na Jatumartyo Bhilabheta Yastu Shri Vishnu Padya Manujas Tulasya Svashan Shava Yastu Naveda Gandham. This is Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 23 of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Goswami says, the person who has not at any time received the dust of the lotus feet of Lord's pure devotee upon his head, he is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of tulasi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body or the breathing. Which means there is no meaning to one's life if one doesn't take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord or the lotus feet of his devotees. In fact, in rank purport to this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes a step ahead. And he says that what is the meaning of a dead body although breathing? So one is dead, but one is still alive, which means one is a ghost. So how inauspicious is the life of a ghost? So similarly, inauspicious is the life of a person who has not taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. One may, when we hear this, we may feel this exaggeration. Just because one doesn't accept the Lord, he's a human being and you call him a ghost. But this is not exaggeration. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't accept any exaggeration in itself. This is the truth, that one's life, if it is devoid of the Lord, it is as good as being dead. And that is the goal of human life. The purpose of human life itself is to attain shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So when that is not done, then there is no purpose to accepting this human life. And it is as good as being dead. So that is what Gauranga Mahaprabhu is explaining here. Text 151. Agama Vedanta Adi Jata Darshan Sarva Shastre Kahe Krishna Pade Bhakti Dhan. The philosophies in all scriptures headed by the Agamas and Vedanta describe the wealth of devotion to the lotus feet of Krishna. The Agamas are the Pancharatras, which are expansions of the Vedas, the Upanishads, which are the head of the Vedas, and Vedanta, which is the essence of the Upanishads, as well as various philosophical scriptures, all point out that service to the lotus feet of Krishna is the goal of life. Very interesting. So, when I was reading this verse just a while ago, I was immediately one verse from Bhagavatam came to my mind. Dharma prochita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayam mulanam shrimad agavate mahamunikate kimba pare nishwaram sadhyo hridyavarudhyate atra prithivi sushrushavis tarshana. So this is the second verse of Bhagavatam. So in this, the beginning, it says dharma prochita kaita votra paramo. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, it propounds the highest truth and it rejects all the cheating religion. So what are the cheating religion? So in that it is mentioned that all the Vedas, the Upanishads, they all deal with cheating religion because they don't propound directly the glories of the Supreme Lord. And they are called cheating religion, they are called Kaitava Dharma because they are giving on material benefits and they don't teach you the way to get out of this material world but rather to stay comfortably in this material world. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam says about all the other religion. But here it says that the Agamas, the Pancharatras, the Upanishads and the Vedanta and Vedas, they all describe the glories of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Whereas we find in Bhagavatam, not only in this verse, but also Vyasadeva is disappointed after writing all the Vedas and he is taking shelter of Narad Muni. So how come this is said? At one point we find the author of the Veda itself disappointed and then he is glorifying the Lord and then he is becoming satisfied. And here we find in Chaitanya Bhagavad it is stated that actually the Upanishads and the Vedantas and the Agamas are glorifying the lotus feet of the Lord. So why is this like this? Can anyone throw some light on this topic?
About the glorification of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the different signs, what all have the umbrella and the gada and so many, about 11 on the right side and 8 on the left side or something like that. That has been described. How it can give protection, how we can really get everything in the lotus feet. That's why everybody say the lotus feet.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking that how indeed they are called Kaitava Dharma or cheating religion because they give us material benefits. They explain to us how one can be comfortable in the material world or one can get piety and be happy in the heavenly planets. But at the end, indirectly all the Vedas and all the Agamas, they are aimed at the lotus feet of the Lord. But that is all mentioned in a very indirect way and in a very insufficient way. That is what Narad Muni also tells to Vyasadeva when he's disappointed. That you are disappointed because you have insufficiently glorified the lotus feet of the Lord. You have insufficiently glorified the process of bhakti. You have. It is not that in the Vedas or the Upanishads, the glories of the Lord, lotus feet or bhakti to his lotus feet is not described. It is described. But described in a very indirect way and in a very insufficient manner. And therefore, Narad Muni told Vyasadeva that now you compose a scripture which is fully glorifying the pastimes of Krishna and the process of bhakti and his dear devotees. So this will make you satisfied. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam appeared. So here, as Vrindavan Das Thakur says, that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is explaining that indeed the Vedas and the scriptures, they are all describing the wealth of devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. After all, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedesha Sarve Rahameva Vedyo. Indeed, he is to be attained by the Vedas. But since they are in a very indirect way, the people who read the Vedas, who read the Agamas or the Upanishads, they get carried away by the flowery language and the other things that it elaborately describes, that they fail to see this chain, this underlying thread of the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, we find that the followers of Upanishads are becoming Mayavadis or Karmakandis. So all these other, the whole world is filled with these kind of people who are after Artha and Kama and Moksha. And they all practice, they all read the Vedas. But very few of them get to attain the lotus feet, get to understand that the Vedas are actually describing the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. But how fortunate are we all who are present in the assembly and who are all in association with the ISKCON and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, that this underlying string, which is so hidden in the Vedas and the Upanishads, is available to us in such an easy way. You know, Bhagavatam is said to be rasamalayam. It is served to us like a juice. It was a fruit that was from the, that is the essence of a Vedic tree. So Vyasadeva was so merciful to put together the glories of the Lord, streamlined the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord, the process of bhakti, and the glories of his devotees. He has put all together in one book in Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is the essence, that is the fruit of the Vedic tree. And that fruit, okay, if it is above on the tree, it is difficult to pluck and eat. But that, by the mercy of Shukadev Goswami and other acharyas in our sampradaya, that flower was, that fruit was plucked, it was peeled, it was made into a juice, and it has been transferred from hand to hand carefully. The juice without spilling, without any addition, subtraction, the juice is coming to us. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, it is now available, at least in the times of before Prabhupada. During Mahaprabhu's time, Bhagavatam was available only in the language of Sanskrit. And the scholars and great Vaishnava Acharya Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they all wrote such beautiful Sanskrit commentaries. But if that was given to us today, would we be able to understand that? Indeed, it is given as a wonderful juice. It is rasamalayam. It is present. The Sanskrit is so beautiful to hear. It's so musical. And the meaning of it has been wonderfully expounded and very detailedly in different angles. It has been analyzed and written by the different acharyas in their commentaries. But they are also in Sanskrit, so would we be able to understand them? No. That juice was transferred into a way that we can consume, spoon-fed to us by Srila Prabhupada, by him spending days and nights reading all these commentaries and putting them in a way in which we can understand them today, in which a way in which every single person in this material world, intelligent or fool, everyone can understand. So in such a language, Srila Prabhupada has put this Srimad Bhagavatam for us, and in the language which is known as English, which is considered to be the language of the Mlechhas and Yavanas, of the lowest of the people. So how merciful is the acharyas in our sampradaya? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called the most munificent, the Mahavadanya avatar. He is Karuna avatar. He is mercy personified. He is an incarnation of mercy. He is Srimati Radharani's mercy himself. And that mood is carried over by all the acharyas who are following him, who are in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so the mercy is increasing and increasing. And it is now available to each and every person in this material world. You can't escape the mercy, you know. The mercy is like coming from all sides by the mercy of all these acharyas, that you can't escape by giving an excuse that, oh, it is in a language which I can't understand. Whichever language you are, English, Bengali, Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, any other language, in that language it is available. And you cannot say that it is difficult for me to get the book. We have Sankirtan preachers road to road who are going and selling these books and you know, delivering gifts. It's easily accessible. And once you get them, you can read them. Okay, I am illiterate, I can't read. But these lectures, books have been provided in audio format so we can hear. So in all different ways, the mercy is attacking every person in this material world. And so that everyone can get access to this nectar, to this juice, which is the conclusion of all the Vedas, which was so difficult and so hiddenly kept in the Vedas, and which was only accessible to the Brahmanas and to the high class, not to the Shudras or the Stri Shudra Dvijabandhu Nam. They were not able to access. The Stri, the Shudras and Dvijabandhus. And Kali Yuga is filled with only these kind of people. In Kali Yuga, Kali Shudra Sambhavaha. In Kali, there is no Brahmana, no Vaishya, no Kshatriya. It's all Shudras. So how will the people of Kali be able to access? It is now accessible to all of us. By the mercy of Gaurahari, by the mercy of his followers, the Goswamis, the Acharyas, coming up to Srila Prabhupada. And all our wonderful Sankirtan devotees and teachers today. So how beautiful it is. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he began this movement 500 years ago. After coming back from Gaya, Gaurahari is revealing all these philosophical conclusions to his students. And he started with Sankirtan Yajna, by which everyone can understand the conclusion of the Vedantas and Vedas and Upanishads. Text 152. Mugdhasabha adhyapaka krishnera mayaya chhadiya krishnera bhakti anya pathe jaye. Teachers, bewildered by the illusory energy of Krishna, give up the devotional service of Krishna and take to other paths. Thank you. So, Gaurahari is explaining that how one who doesn't take up a devotional service, why are they not able to take up the devotional service of Krishna's lotus feet? That is because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of Krishna, Maya. So this is very similar to the vision of Sri Vyasadeva. So after when Vyasadeva was being disappointed after writing the Vedas and the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutra, he was contemplating on the reason for disappointment, and at that time his spiritual master Narad Muni appeared there. And by the blessings of Narad Muni, by the instructions of Narad Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, he fixes his mind in the process of devotion, in the process of bhakti, and meditates. And at that time he sees a very wonderful vision, and this vision is further expounded into the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that vision he sees the Supreme Lord, and then he sees the illusory energy of the Lord, and she is completely controlled by the Supreme Lord. She's under the control of the Lord. And then he sees, which is described in Bhagavatam, Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartham tatkritam chabhipatte. So in this it is described, this is the second verse in the section of the vision of Vyasadeva, that he saw that the Lord is there and the excellent energy is under the control of the Lord. Then he sees Yaya sammohito jiva, he sees the living entities. And he sees that the living entities are under the control of the external energy. And because of being under her control, they are thinking themselves to be a part of this material nature. They think themselves as a material product. And therefore, they are all suffering. Therefore, they are coming away from the Supreme Lord. They have turned their face away from the Supreme Lord. And they are thinking themselves as a part of this material world. And they're consequently performing action and undergoing the reactions and sufferings of the material world. And paropi manute nartham. And the best part of this, the sad part, the irony is that they are under the external energy's hand, they're under her control, but actually they are transcendental to the three modes. They are of a superior nature, and illusory energy is of inferior nature, but still they have come under her control. So it is not that they have been covered up by a superior force and therefore they are not able to do anything. But actually, they are being controlled by something which is inferior to them, which is not them. They are of a superior transcendental nature. We as jivas are of a superior and transcendental nature. But for some reason we have come and we have been taken over by this illusion energy of the Lord. So then Vyasadeva in his meditation, he sees that if they are not of this nature, then why are they being controlled? How can they get out of this? There is surely a way for them to get out. And that is, anarthopachamam shakshat bhakti yoga madokshaje. By rendering bhakti yoga to adokshaja, to the Supreme Lord, who is completely transcendental, one can get out of this illusory energy. So this is what is missing. This is what the jiva who are suffering, they don't know. They have forgotten this path of devotion, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining here. They are bewildered by illusory energy and they have taken up other paths. They have given up devotional service. We have given up devotional service and we have taken up other paths. And therefore, the Lord has now incarnated to explain, the Lord again and again incarnates in different incarnations. He comes as himself as the Supreme Lord Krishna, as Rama, as Narasimha, as Vamana. He comes to show his transcendental pastimes. And when we see that, he hopes that we get attractive and we render devotional service unto him. And finally, when he has shown all his pastimes and still we don't get attracted, he comes himself as a devotee. He's appearing as Sri Gaurahari. He comes as Gaurahari as a devotee. And he shows that as a living entity of material world, how to take up devotional service. At least if I practically come and demonstrate, then at least these people will try to understand and they will follow. So the Lord himself has come and he's explaining all these things. He's explaining that how we have become bewildered and how you have to take association of a spiritual master by his own example. When he went to Gaya, he exemplifies how one should behave with a spiritual master. When Gaurahari, he went to his spiritual master's birthplace. You have come across that in your readings in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adhikanda, last chapter, chapter 17, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is serving Prasadam to Ishwarapuri in Gaya. In that section, you would have come across, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes how much love as a disciple Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for Ishwarapuri, how he demonstrated it. It is said in that section that once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had visited Kumar Hatta, Halishahar. Halishahar is the birthplace of Ishwarapuri. And when he visited that place, he offered obeisances and he took the dust of that place and he accepted it. And then he took some dust in his cloth. In his cloth, he wrapped it so that every day in his life, he can remember his spiritual master and accept his dust. The dust from the place, which is the birthplace of his spiritual master. So, that incidentally, when I went to Mayapur this time for Narasimha Chaturdasi, I participated in a tour which was conducted by Mayapur Tourism. And they conducted a tour to this place, which is the birthplace of Ishwarapuri Halishahar. Even today, there is a very wonderful temple there. And there is a place in front, a beautiful pond. So when we went there, His Grace Adhul Krishna Prabhu, he accompanied the tour. And he was glorifying. He was reading the section from Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Chittamrita and explaining how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received his spiritual master's paraphernalia. And it's when he went there and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in that place, out of his mouth, nothing but the name of his spiritual master came. He was only glorifying his spiritual master in ecstasy and accepting the shelter of that place. So if devotees, if you wish, you can even today go and visit that place. All these places mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, these holy places are even there today, adorning the Gaurmandal Bhumi. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating how one should accept the spiritual master, how one should render service to the spiritual master, accept the holy name from the spiritual master and perform bhakti yoga. And he's showing that how in a very short time, one purely chants the holy name, one will get bhava. Mahaprabhu is showing that in Gaya, he received the mantra and in a few days, he attained ecstasy by properly sitting and chanting the holy name of the Lord. And now he's going to begin. Now we are in Madhyalila chapter 1. Madhyalila fully constitutes the Sankirtan pastimes of the Lord, the preaching activities of the Lord. Nityananda Prabhu has come to Navadvip. Haridas Thakur has come to Navadvip. All the Vaishnavas are there. And Mahaprabhu is going to start a Sankirtan movement. He's going to defeat Chandkazi. He's going to preach to Chandkazi. He's going to give mercy to everyone. Jagaya Madai are going to get delivered. So many pastimes Madhya Khanda is adorned with, which fully describes the Sankirtan pastimes of the Lord. The Lord is personally demonstrating as a devotee how we, by looking at him, we can learn that how to perform bhakti and how to get out of this, the clutches of illusory energy, how to get out, how to perform devotion, get out and go back to the Lord's abode, how to re-enter the Lord's pastimes. His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu would often say that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are very fortunate because if one takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and performs bhakti under his guidance, then that devotee, when he gets liberated, he gets the opportunity to have two swarupas. He gets to perform pastimes in Golok Vrindavan, in Krishna's pastimes, he gets a role and he also gets a form in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shvetadvip. So simultaneously, he gets two forms and he can perform past tense. So such is the mercy of Sri Gaurahari. So I'm very fortunate to be able to glorify the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu on this in the assembly of such wonderful Vaishnavas, that all of you who are regularly hearing the glories of the Lord. And I beg for the mercy of all of you. I beg for all of you to please bless me, that whatever I have spoken today in glorification of the Lord, may I be able to realize and apply that in my own life, not just speak, but apply them in my own life, and follow properly the footsteps of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his wonderful associates, and thereby please my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to be a part of this wonderful group, and please correct me if I've made any mistakes while giving this lecture, and I beg forgiveness for any mistakes I've committed or out of my audacity spoken anything improper. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful class. You summarized the entire Chaitanya Bhagavat chapter by chapter. It was so beautiful. We went past all those things. All our memories came back. And then you took over. And so beautifully, Mataji. You started from Chatushloki. You explained the second verse so beautifully. And the most beautiful point I liked was how you said Srila Prabhupada is so merciful to translate this, to give us all the purports, everything in this language of Mlecha. So I am worse than a Mlecha, and I get the fortune of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is attacking us and there's no escape from it. So beautiful, Mataji, so very beautiful. I see Sakakara Krishna Prabhu has already raised his hand. Please go ahead, Prabhu.
Allowing me to participate in your Sangha, and Antaranga Tulsi Mataji is like my own daughter. Right from the day of her appearance in this world, her name is Radhika only before she got married. Now she got married and her husband is Lakshman and he is in Hyderabad. Now she has been from Mayapur, but now she wants to make Hyderabad as Mayapur, being so much of, because she really made me to cry today, that as you said, Mataji, she did the whole right from the beginning till now. In one class, she just summarized the whole thing. So we really want to invite her very, very, very soon. Every month at least, you should call her so that she will give us always memorization of the whole Bhakti, Madhyakanda and everything, and also the Bhagavatam. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All the best for a very happy, blissful Krishna conscious married life. And you're going to have Radha and Krishna in your house. Hare Krishna. Radhe, Radhe.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Preeti Vilasni Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Antaranga Tulsi Mataji. Thank you for such a beautiful class. It was so nice. It was so engaging. First, and please forgive us for messing up the verses. It was my mistake, and I hope not to do it again. And even in the last minute, you came and you presented the entire subject matter without a single glitch. It was so beautiful. Thanks for summarizing the entire Adikanda and the Madhyakanda so far. And two things that I liked in the class. One is how you described that Jiva Goswami actually implemented what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling at this point in time after his transformation. The same thing was running in my mind, and you just said it. It was so nice think about it. The second thing I liked is about how you were talking about how the mercy is attacking us from all directions. That is so true. Even if I have a complaint, I cannot read, I can still hear. And of course, Chinmay Mataji also brought out the point of it being available in English, reaching a wider audience. So thank you so much. These are such beautiful realizations and things to ponder about. Thank you again for coming on the call, giving your very valuable association and covering the subject matter so diligently. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. In fact, the verse numbers, even though they came to me in not the verse that I was supposed to speak on, but because of that, I read through more verses today, more detailedly. I prepared for that and then I prepared for this. So that made my day even more relishable. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Antaranga Tulsi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Very nice to have you on the call, Mataji. So sweet to see you. And always your summaries really help us, Mataji. Even Srimad Bhagavatam class, that way you gave all the canto summary and you went on to that verse. That's my favorite class because Srimad Bhagavatam is very hard to understand. Once in a while, if you have these kind of summaries, it really helps us what we saw previously and what where we are. And that class was really awesome, Mataji. And today, Chaitanya Bhagavat also, you just narrated like a simple, like a story. Even a small kid could understand what happened till now in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Thank you, Mataji. Very, very beautiful explanation. I really loved the class, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for inviting me. Yeah, like you said, Bhagavatam is intertwined with so many stories, difficult to remember. But Chaitanya Bhagavat is so easy to remember because it is the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is so practical that the flow is very easy to remember. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is so descriptive, how can you forget his wonderful descriptions? Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Anita Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Go ahead, yes, Mataji. Hari Bol, Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, Antaranga Tulasi Mataji, very nice to have you again on the call, Mataji, after a long time. So, it's very wonderful. The kid which Vinita Mataji just mentioned, who can understand your class, is no one else, it's me, actually. I am the kid who cannot understand these scriptures very in detail, but you had just given that essence of the Bhagavata, the first, the Adikanda and this Madhikanda till the date. It's very wonderful, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Shri Shopanishad Mataji, do you want to go ahead?
Jai Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Dhanavat Pranams, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you, Prabhu. This has been really wonderful. Thank you for your explanations on so thorough. You're so thorough, Hare Krishna. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, I was just really introduced to it just recently in the last 4 or 5 months through Pran Govinda Das. And I am just very ecstatic because it's wonderful to meet your acquaintance because you're so young and so, you know, so very well versed in these wonderful pastimes. So I just really appreciate, I'm just sharing that I'm really ecstatic about being on this, on the call and listening and hearing. And thank you very much. Hari Bol.
Thank you so much, Patashi.
Thank you, Mataji. Anybody else wants to share any realizations, questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. Saglori Srishla Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the very, very wonderful session. I'll echo everybody's words they all said in glorification. So thank you so much for your association. Thank you for coming on the call, accepting our request, and saying such beautiful things on the subject matter. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for having me here.
Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. In chat, there are some nice glorifications. Parima Mataji, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, Sangeeta Mataji, they're all thanking you for this beautiful class. If there are no more realizations. Mataji. Yes, Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, such a beautiful class, Mataji. Last time in one of your classes, you had mentioned that Mayapur is trying to have like a festival every day. So I was just wondering, have the festivals increased in number since then? Or
yes, we have increased, we have introduced a very big festival. Mm-hmm. Now every month we have an Abhishek for Narsingadev. Before it used to be happening only on Narsingh Chaturdasi day. Once a year. So then now we have decided to have Abhishek every month. So that is 12 new festivals now added to the calendar. 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 months, every month, one day we'll have Abhishek for Narsingadev. The big Narsingadev in the main altar, his Abhishek will happen.
So is there any specific date, Mataji, or any day in a month, Mataji?
No, it is the Chaturdashi in every month. Shukla Paksha Chaturdashi. To Vinita Mataji, I'll send the dates for this year. For this year, the dates have been declared already. I'll send that. So she can share it with you so you can all see in Mayapur TV, or you can plan your visit to Mayapur during one of those days also. So that festival has been added. And Narsingh Chaturdasi festival has been increased. Before, Narsingh Chaturdasi festival used to be only for 2 days. One day Adivas and one day the main day. So now it has been increased. We are going to have 9 days of Yajna. So for 9 days prior to Narsingh Chaturdasi, we will be having Narsimha Yajna. So that is a new addition to the family of festivals. And yes, we will still increase. We have more plans.
Very nice, Mataji. So in Hyderabad too, I heard there's a new ISKCON temple coming up near Kokapet. So I was wondering, like, do you preach around that area, Mataji?
I myself am new to Hyderabad, Mataji. I'm just here for past 2 to 3 months. So I'm around the place. But yes, I have come in connection with some nearby centers. And the preaching is very nice. And I beg for the mercy of all of you so I can also start preaching in this location.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Antaranga Mataji started learning Telugu also. Everybody, Bhagavanara, he speaks now Telugu.
Nice, very nice, Mataji. Thank, very grateful for your association. Please give us your association more often. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. I forget the name, but very nice class. And all this in just did them like a pretty glass in Mataji, and just beside you the whole. Adi and Madhya. I love you. Okay. Sorry. Ghost wants to go.
Feeling sad the class got ended. We are feeling sad the class got ended. We wanted one more.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Madhavi. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Kamudari.
And if that's it, Mataji, with your permission, can we end the call?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And we would request you to come very frequently, Mataji, to give your nectar to us. So I'll offer our obeisances. Manchakal patarubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha. Patitanam pavaneetam.
Namo namah.
Nandakoti Vishnu vrindi ki
jai. Jai.
Jai.
Thank you, devotees.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Thank you, everybody. All the best. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, ending the call, dear devotees. Haribo.